Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're two evangelical Catholics with PhDs in common sense, and common sense ain't that common. Jess Romero, Terry Barber here, reporting for duty, sir.
Terry, reporting for duty, sir, and St. Stanislaw, pray for
us. Wow. Yeah. Tell us what we got going, Jess.
Terry,
this is exciting.
Today we're going to be reading a statement from Father Pallone, who is the Catholic pro-life leader.
Yeah.
He's gonna react to the Trump's abortion statement,
mm-hmm.
and also we have a well-written article by our friend Father David Nix, where he talks about the implications of the last DDF document that just came out called Dignitatis Infinita, mm-hmm. and Father Dave Nix shows us. From this declaration on human dignity, he shows us three pretty egregious errors. And so that's what we want to talk about today, Terry.
And I might also add, we have a special guest. We're going to bring in Bishop Joseph Strickland to give his comments about President Trump's statements. And also, he'll make his comment about Father Frank Pavone's statements. So be in store. We're going to have a great show. Jesse, we always call it need-to-know file. Before we get to the gospel, I wanted to mention that Idaho's governor signed laws defining sex as male and female, banning gender language in government schools. I wish every state would have the common sense to know that. Also, Jesse, is this a sign of the times? Japanese large company that makes diapers for babies? No more. They're making adult diapers now. They're shifting. Because the demographics have shown, I know you're smiling, it's a true statement. Because so many adults are they got the elderly, and now they're making adult diapers. Again, it shows you the demographics. That's what's going to happen when you stop having babies. One last thought, Jess, and then I'll turn it over to you. Pope Francis made a very strong statement. He said, a Christian without courage is a useless Christian. Well, the other day I said that Saint Ambrose was denying interest to Emperor Theodosius, remember, in Milan's cathedral, and he excommunicated, so he had courage to do that. And then we have the saint of the day who did a similar thing with the king of Poland, and he was shot by the king's men for excommunicating the king. So I think the Holy Father should take his own advice and excommunicate all public officials like Joe Biden and others who are publicly trying to promote the killing of innocent life. Now, I realize they automatically are excommunicated, but Pope Francis used the courage you're talking about to show the Hoi Polloi Catholics that killing unborn babies with abortion is not acceptable and that you endanger your soul for eternal life. I guarantee you that would help stop many Catholics from committing abortions, because if they knew seriously that the Pope said, this is not acceptable, and you're excommunicated by doing that, I think a lot of people would take it more serious. All right, Jess, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, Terry, if we have time in the last segment, mm-hmm. A lot of people have sent me an email from a scientist. His name is Dr. Fernando Lopez Mirones.
Okay.
And it's a very powerful short little letter.
We got to get it.
He wrote the message. I'll send it to you right now on your iPhone. He says it's a very powerful message for those people that had the courage not to take the jab. It's very inspirational. We'll see if we have a chance to read it the last segment.
Got it.
Want to mention that the month of April is also dedicated to the Most Holy Eucharist, which is the sacrament of all sacraments, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. The Eucharist is essential to the Catholic faith. It is the sine qua non, as the church fathers called this, indispensable element of Roman Catholicism. The Holy Eucharist is Emmanuel, God with us. The Holy Eucharist is the proof that Jesus Christ keeps his promises, because he said he would remain with us until the end of time in Matthew 28:19. And guess what? He reigns now, today, as our Eucharistic King from every golden tabernacle around the world.
Praise God, Jesse. Hey, brother, let's get some soul food in if you're ready.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening.
Amen.
John chapter 3, verses 31 through 36. The scripture says, The one who comes from above is above all. That's a reference to Jesus, the second person of the Trinity who became man. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. That's all of us. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. That's a direct reference to Jesus, the second person of the Godhead. He, that's Jesus, pronoun, testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. That's kind of an exaggerated statement with that. That's hyperbole. That means most people didn't accept his message. Most of the Jews, according to New Testament studies from Dr. Scott Hahn, only about 10% of the Jews converted to become followers of Christ. 90% rejected him. Then it says, whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy. For the one whom God sent, and it's not talking about God the Father here, for the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. In other words, God sent his son. The first person sent the second person of the Trinity. For the one who, he does not ration his gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to him. Did you catch that?
Yep.
Even judgment. The Father says that he's given all judgment to the Son. The Father says in the Bible, he's given all authority to the Son. A-L-L. And the Bible says, whoever believes in the Son, S-O-N, that's Jesus, has eternal life. But whoever disobeys the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains upon him. Notice that a lot of Protestants say, all you got to do, Jess, is believe in the Son of God and you're saved. Well, the Bible says today in John 3:36, it says, yeah, you got to believe in the Son, but that implies obedience as well, because that's what the Greek word to believe means, to obey.
Yep.
And it's clear in verse 36, because the Bible says today in today's gospel, whoever disobeys the Son will not see life. Protestants disobey the Son. That's why they're called Protestants. They're protesting against the church that Jesus started. They're protesting against the real presence that Jesus Christ left on planet Earth. And instead, the Protestants proclaim the real absence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist.
Well said. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room, which is Fulton J. Sheen. Full sheen ahead here. I think that train is running a little late. Jesse, I've said this before, but I think this is important. Bishop Sheen says, the final form of hatred of religion is a wish to defy God and to maintain one's own evil in the face of his goodness and power. And I want to bring some other statement up that fits right in with Bishop Sheen from Bishop Strickland. And Jesse, this is something I got hanging here in the studio. Bishop Strickland said, Jess, Terry, everybody, to be persecuted for speaking the truth is an honor every Christian should be willing to embrace. It is walking with Jesus Christ, who is truth incarnate. If we know Jesus, it is easier to speak his truth, no matter what forces oppose us. The opposition is temporary. Jesus is forever. I bring this up because of what Pope Francis just said about Christians that don't have courage are useless. And I understand what happened to Bishop Strickland, but boy, do I. He's no longer the Bishop of Tyler. I'm going to say this right on the air. I think one of the reasons he's not the Bishop of Tyler is because he had the courage to speak the truth about the gospel, and he was persecuted from within the church. So he's the kind of guy I model. We have another saint, Jesse. Can you bring the next saint in for the day?
Yeah, Terry. Today's in the Catholic Church, as you well know, we always have a feast day.
Yep.
And we celebrate the courage of Christians around, you know, for the last 2,000 years.
Yes.
And so pretty much every single day we have a feast day. Today is the feast day of Saint Stanislaw. Saint Polish. Stanislaw.
Yeah, Polish.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a Polish, very famous in Poland, Terry.
Krakow.
He's an iconic figure in Poland. So what could we say about Saint Stanislaw? Here's a couple things that I would say the Catholic Church honors the memory of this 11th century bishop and martyr, St. Stanislaw of Krakow, who died for the faith at the hands of King Boleslaw II. He was canonized in 1253. St. Stanislaw is a beloved patron of the Polish nation and people in his own country. He's also commemorated on May 8th, the date of his death, in 1079. St. John Paul II, who was Krakow Archbishop in the See of St. Stanislaw before becoming Pope, paid tribute to him often during his pontificate. And in a letter in 2003 to the Polish Church, he recalled how St. Stanislaw proclaimed faith in God to our ancestors and started in them the saving power of the passion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. St. Stanislaw taught the moral order in the family based on sacramental marriage. He taught the moral order within the state, reminding even the king that in his actions, he should keep in mind the unchanging law of God. Through St. Stanislaw, God taught the Polish Pope's homeland to respect the law of God and the just rights of every person. St. Stanislaw, pray for us.
And when we come back, we'll tell you who murdered the king. I mean, who murdered the saint. And when you find out who murdered him, why he murdered him, you're going to say, that man had courage. That's a teaser. When we come back, I'll tell you the circumstances of that one. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess, you mentioned St. Stanislaus, bishop and martyr. Here's the interesting thing. The king of Krakow was living an immoral life. And so the saint had the courage to tell the king, hey, dude, listen, you're going to be excommunicated if you don't clean your act up because you're a public figure. You know, you're doing terrible things like our guys are, like Joe Biden, and killing unborn babies. Who's got the courage to excommunicate him? Well, that saint did, and it cost him his life because the king sent his thugs over to murder the saint for excommunicating him. Now, that's the kind of courage I think is what we're needing in the church today. Jess, let's talk about, and I had to say that because these saints inspire us, Jesse. Let me just throw something at you, Jess. You know, they say, well, it's easy for you to say that. Well, do you remember last June when we had the Dodger Stadium march with because of the transgenders and, you know, all that was going on? Well, Virgin Most Powerful Radio put signed the permit for the Los Angeles City, and everybody knew our name and our address, where to find us. Now, there were lots of other groups that were co-sponsoring the event, but you know what? Who was the guy that put their name on it? Who had the courage? Jess Romero, Terry Barber, Virgin Most Powerful. We said, yeah, we'll put our name on it. Let's do it, because they need to have somebody's permit. Jesse, your brother told me, got to have it. No problem. If we go down and they burn our church or they do something bad to us, I can't think of a better way to go, Jess, by standing up for the truth. But this is why I'm not only calling the Holy Father and our bishops to be strong, I'm willing to do it myself. Let's continue, Jess.
That's right. Well, let's talk about Catholic pro-life leaders react to Trump's abortion statement.
Yep.
Yeah, this is the Catholic Vote.
Yep.
Catholic leaders of the pro-life movement weighed in on former President Donald Trump's Monday's announcement that abortion should be a state issue. The states will determine by vote or legislation, or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land. Mm-hmm. In this case, the law of the state, stated Trump, the presumptive 2024 Republican presidential nominee. By the way, what Trump just said there, Terry, that's known as the principle of subsidiarity.
Yeah, local level. Yep.
Yeah. So we continue. Many states will be different, Trump added. Many states will have a different number of weeks. At the end of the day, it's all about the will of the people. Mm-hmm. Also, in his announcement, Trump expressed support for in vitro fertilization, IVF, saying the Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life. IVF is an important part of that. Let me make some comments there. As I said before, Terry, Donald Trump doesn't have the benefit that you and I have. We can reach right across our desk, pull out a big, thick book called The Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Yep.
We can look at the glossary.
Yep.
And we can look at IVF, and we can see magisterial statements
right
on that topic. Now, he's number one, he's not a Catholic. And so number two, so he's not bound by Catholic law because he's not Catholic. And so who does he listen to? Well, he listens to his probably mostly Protestant advisory board. Mm-hmm. And for, as you well know, Terry, even good people like Dr. James Dobson, for a lot of well-intentioned Protestants, they don't see anything evil because they don't have deep moral theology,
right?
Contraception and IVF. And so Trump is not a theologian, Terry.
Nope.
He's a businessman. He asks for his advisors to give him advice. Most of his advisors are probably going to be Protestant Christians, and they're going to say, hey, boss, there's no problem with that. Sign off on it.
Yep.
So that's all I have to say about that. Let's continue.
Yep.
The federal government cannot abandon women and children exploited by abortion. Leaving abortion policy to the states is not sufficient, Catholic Vote wrote on X Monday morning. While federal legislation on abortion is challenging at present, we are confident that a Trump administration will be staffed with pro-life personnel committed to pro-life policies, including conscious rights, limits on taxpayer funding of abortion, and protections for pro-life states, Catholic Vote added.
Can I jump in and say something, Jesse? Believe it or not, we know that he'll do that. You know why? Because he did it when he was the president. And, you know, this is unusual circumstances. We got Joe Biden, who just is going to complete 4 years as the president. I don't remember this ever happening, Jesse. We've got two guys running for the presidency who both have been president. Okay, so we know their policies. We lived through them. Biden, we know what he wants to do with abortion. So I just want to make that point because that makes it really clear that it's not like speculation of what he's going to do. We know what President Trump will do. We know what Biden will do. They've shown it the last 8 years. We've seen it from both sides. That's all.
Yeah, Terry. Yeah. Trump is going to stack the deck.
Of course.
With a bunch of pro-life advisors.
What he did last time.
That are Catholics and Protestants.
Yep.
And guess what? They're going to move the needle towards more of a culture of
That's
life.
Right. That's
because
right.
He's going to listen to his advisors.
Yep.
He's not going to hire woke ex-Planned Parenthood employees to advise him.
Yeah.
He's going to hire Christians, both Catholic and Protestant, and they'll be giving him advice on how to move the football closer to the pro-life touchdown.
Amen, brother. Great stuff. Just continue, because I'm going to have, when you're ready, we've got Bishop Strickland jumping in. After you do the Father Frank Pavone, we've got a statement from the good bishop on this.
While federal legislation on abortion policy is challenging at present time, we're confident that a Trump administration, okay, I read that. President Trump's latest statement on abortion reflects the electoral minefield created by Democrat abortion fanaticism. The fact remains that pro-life voters need to win elections to protect mothers and children. What a great statement by Catholic Vote.
Yep.
And in other words, what the state of the country that we find ourselves in, this is created by the Democrat fanaticism.
Mm.
So this is the cards that we're dealt right now.
Yeah.
So we have to think about winning elections. And if we win elections, then we can move the pro-life position, you know, closer to the touchdown.
That's right.
It says Catholic Vote writes, further, Democrats are now preparing a billion-dollar election year barrage with radical abortion as its centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
While Trump did not commit to any specific pro-life policies, he notably will not stand in the way of states that have acted to protect innocent children from the violent abortion industry. He writes, the contrast between Joe Biden and the Democrats and President Trump is unmistakable.
Oh, yeah.
Catholic Vote statement. This is our position here at VNPR, by the way.
Yep.
Catholic Vote statement concluded, pro-life voters have only one option in November.
Yep.
That's our position right here, Terry.
Amen. And Jesse, when we're ready, like I said, we've got Bishop Joseph Strickland on our show yesterday. It'll be on next week. Tuesday show right before ours. And he jumps in on this Father Frank Pavone statement. So I think anybody who's got common sense understands, Jesse, that Jesus Christ isn't running to be the next president or the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's an imperfect person running. President Trump is not perfect. But you know what? When you compare him to Biden, He looks pretty darn good. I'm sorry.
Let's put on Bishop Strickland.
Let's get Bishop Strickland talking about the statement regarding Father Frank Ravone and how we should be voting.
Yes.
Well, I totally agree with what you just said, Terry. And I did watch Frank Pavone and his statement.
Yeah.
I agree with what he said. I think certainly we live in a very imperfect world. I mean, that goes without saying. And this election offers us very imperfect choices.
Of course.
I lament that there isn't a stronger voice saying, you know, what we say and what we know. But that's just not what we have. And that strong a voice, if one of the candidates had that strong a voice, it's likely they couldn't get elected anyway.
Right.
And so I think it's something that we have to, it's not easy. And it's something that I think we have to really think through. As Catholics, I think we simply have to acknowledge that we don't have a candidate who truly represents Catholic faith.
That's right.
He can say he does all he wants, but President Biden pretends to, but he doesn't.
Nope.
At least President Trump doesn't pretend to be Catholic. He doesn't claim to be Catholic.
Nope.
So I think as Catholics, we just acknowledge that we don't have a candidate that really clearly represents our Catholic values. So acknowledging that, then what do? We look for the one that does the best.
That's right.
That represents those values the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's also important, you know, because sometimes even within the Catholic world, especially when it comes to Catholicism and politics, it's like, well, it's almost like we're told, and many seem to have the attitude that, well, we just have to settle for X. We settle for the best we can get. Mm-hmm. I guess what I would say is we can't vote for Biden.
No.
I'm not going to.
No, they couldn't get me. No.
I will not vote for Biden. He's a terrible Catholic, but to me, he's a terrible president.
Yeah. Why don't you really tell me what you think, Bishop Strickland, next time? And Jesse, on Tuesday, that whole interview will be broadcast on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And I already heard someone say, you're going to lose your nonprofit status. So what? If they want to go at us, Jess, you can't worry about these things. You got to just keep preaching the truth. What did Strickland say earlier in the show? Don't be afraid to speak. You should be honored to speak the truth. All right. Back to you, Jess.
Yeah. So, yeah, that
I can't vote for Biden. I love it.
Yeah, I couldn't have put it more succinctly than Bishop Strickland. Yeah, it says the article here from Catholic Vote.
Yeah.
Students for Life American President Christine Hawkins indicated that while she supports a pro-life law at the national level, Trump's decision to punt on endorsing one was a strategic position. Notice, she gets it. Young girl gets it.
Sure.
It's strategy.
Yep.
GOP insiders were calling for a 15 or 16 week limit on abortion, which would have allowed more than 9 out of 10 abortions to continue. And by either intent or by accident, would set up a very tough European-like stalemate on abortion, Christine Hawkins explained on X. She wrote that Trump's emphasis on addressing abortion at the state level keeps the pressure on Democrats and their abortion extremism instead of letting their fundraising machines stir up their radical base over threats about a federal late-term abortion ban that would only save 4 to 6% of children.
Jesse, we're going to take a quick break, but I just want to mention, think about the heartbeat bill that took place in Texas and tens of thousands of babies are born and alive today. That's why we have to move the football towards the first down with President Trump. That's how I see it. You disagree? I can appreciate that, but I think that's a Catholic viewpoint. Stay with us. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse, we've got three heresies in this Dignitatis Infinita, which is the Holy Father's, you know, the newly invented DDF, used to be called the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. I can't get used to DDF, but okay. And Father Dave is, I just want to say this before we go into it. There are a lot of good things in this document on transgenderism and on abortion. I get that. What Father Dave did is he took the a kind of a philosophical, traditional approach to understanding right and wrong, and he nails it and says that this is a completely different approach, which is heretical. So let's get into the error one, Jesse, newly, the error that he pointed out. You go ahead and cover that.
Yeah, it's Father Dave Nix writes three heresies in the new document on the dignity of the human person.
Yeah.
On human dignity. Mm-hmm. It's called Declaration on Human Dignity. Father Dave Nix, he says the following. He says, number one, error number one, it's on paragraph 12, mm-hmm. where it says, the glorious Christ will judge by the love of neighbor that consists in ministering to the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and the imprisoned, with whom he identifies, Matthew 25, 34 to 36. For Jesus, the good done to every human being, regardless of the ties of blood or religion, is the single criterion of judgment.
And the problem is single. Go ahead.
Yeah. So here's our Father Dave Nix. He offers his criticism as a theologian. He says, quote, truth number one, the interesting thing is that Father Dave Nix called it even before it came out. In a recent video, Lectio Divina, I did on Matthew 25, I explain how modernist heretics are correct that we will be judged on how we treated the poor, but it is a total heresy to say that the corporal works of mercy are the single criterion,
exactly,
as the quote says above,
yep,
in our particular judgment. In fact, such an assertion is the same as the ancient heresy of Pelagianism,
yep,
which holds we can be saved by good works without grace. Similarly, modernist heretics always purposefully ignore everything else that the Bible says is necessary for salvation. First, we know that only the blood of Christ can purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews 9:15. Talk about blood ties in their heretical sentence above. Secondly, we know that Jesus Christ himself claimed in John 14 that he alone was the way, the truth, and the life, not a way or a truth or a life.
Very well said.
Finally, it's a shocking heresy above to say one's religion bears no bearing upon his salvation, for we know that the church, even from biblical times, was called the pillar and buttress of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15.
Well said. And Jesse, this just makes it real clear that, again, it's not a single criteria of judgment. Number two, error. Here it comes. Similarly, freedom is frequently obscured by the variety of psychological, historical, social, educational, and cultural influences. Real and historical freedom always needs to be liberated. One must, moreover, reaffirm the fundamental right to religious freedom. Now, the truth, Jesse.
Here's the way Father Dave Nix explains the error. He says this, and that was from paragraph 31 of the new document. Father Nix says, we have a right from God to pursue the truth via his positive will. Only in his permissive will does he allow false religions.
That's right.
God has never given any right to worship Hindu demons any more than he's given a right for Satanists to worship Satan. How many of you believe in religious freedom to Satanists who want to sacrifice babies? God only allows such things for later conversion,
that's right,
or eternal punishment. Thus, religious freedom does not exist in God's eyes. However, in defense of Cardinal Fernandez, this error was originally found in Dignitatis Humanae, which is one of the Vatican II documents. He says, keep in mind that resistance to this error is not tantamount to forced conversions to Catholicism. The Catholic Magisterium has never promoted forced conversions. In fact, I'm not even aware of such activity at the height of the Spanish Inquisition. Rather, the error in Dignitatis Humanae, the Vatican II document, and this new declaration, Dignitatis Infinita, is that it insists that man can give other men rights to follow a false religion. By the way, the term infinite dignity in reference to man, not God, is a totally free Masonic tenet.
Isn't that fascinating? The guy really did his homework. Okay, error three.
Let me just make a comment there.
Please do.
Look, as Catholics, obviously we don't believe in forced conversion.
No.
But as Catholics, we're not going to promote that somebody follow a false religion. I mean, if somebody does follow a false religion, well, that's because of their own free will, their own malformation. But as Catholics, we can't rubber stamp it.
Nope.
Yeah, we can't condone them in their ignorance. We're called to call them to repentance and called to come home to the one true church,
and just,
not just allow them to wallow in their ignorance.
And, you know, Bishop Snyder made that clarification when the Holy Father was pointing out about other religions, and he commented and wrote to the Holy Father saying, Holy Father, it's the permissive will of God. It's not the will of God that somebody becomes a Muslim or other religions. And for some strange reason, the Holy Father told Snyder, you do it. You know, that was the dialogue. That was like 5 years ago, Jesse. So this has been going on for some time. All right, truth number three, Jess. Hit it.
Truth number three, or error number three. Error number three.
Oh, I'm sorry. Error.
In this regard, the document says, the new declaration on human dignity, it says, we must recognize that the firm rejection of the death penalty shows to what extent it is possible to recognize the inalienable dignity of every human being and to accept that he or she has a place in this universe. And notice this new document quotes the other document from the Pope, Fratelli Tutti.
Yeah, it's okay? Important.
So the Pope is footnoting himself, Terry.
And yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, okay.
But now let's go to the truth, because this is a big issue about the death penalty. Why is it that people like St. Thomas Aquinas and other saints have justified this for centuries, that there's legitimacy for the death penalty for the protection of the innocent and also for the individual to come to grips with his immortality? Continue. The truth.
Well, because this comes from divine revelation, as Father Nix argues here, he says, truth number three. Or should I say correction number three?
Yeah.
Not only has the Holy Spirit inspired the Old Testament to grant the death penalty to civil authorities, but even the New Testament contains the words of the Holy Spirit through St. Paul in Romans 13, 4 and 5. It says, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he, that's the government, does not bear the sword in vain, for he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. Mm. So it's very clear from the Bible that the government has the authority of God to impose the death penalty. Father Nix writes, every pope and council before 1950 infallibly promoted the death penalty as an aspect of justice in any civilized society. Here are two of many examples. Number one, Pope Innocent I, 5th century, says, it must be remembered that the power was granted by God to the magistrates, that's government, and to avenge crime by the sword was permitted. He who carries out this vengeance is God's minister. Why should we condemn a practice that all hold to be permitted by God? We uphold, therefore, what has been observed until now, in order not to alter the discipline, and so that we may not appear to act contrary to God's authority. That's Pope Innocent I, 5th century. We also have the Council of Trent, 1566. The power of life and death is permitted to certain civil magistrates because theirs is the responsibility under law to punish the guilty and protect the innocent. Far from being guilty of breaking this commandment, thou shalt not kill, such an execution of justice is precisely an act of obedience to it. For the purpose of the law is to protect and foster human life. This purpose is fulfilled when the legitimate authority of the state is exercised by taking the guilty lives of those who have taken innocent lives. In the Psalms, we find a vindication of this right. Morning by morning, the psalmist says, I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Psalm 101, verse 8. And finally, I'll say, Terry, is Saint Dismas on the cross in Luke 24 tells the Gestas, the bad thief on the left, he says, why do you revile this man? Talking about Jesus. He goes, what is happening to us, we deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. So notice what Saint Dismas said as he's being killed on the cross via the death penalty. He said, the Holy Spirit put in his mouth, he said, we deserve this. He didn't say, oh, this goes against human dignity. This goes against...
Take me down.
This goes against my civil rights. The government can't do this.
Right.
The government is being totalitarian. He goes, we deserve this. This man has done nothing.
Doesn't come any clearer than that, Jess. Hey, when we come back from our break, Jesse, you just got this message from a Spanish biologist, Fernando Lopez. I mean, what a statement. We're going to have that when we come back. He's basically saying, look, you guys did the right thing. We'll come back and we'll talk about that and much more here on the Terry and Jesse Show. Yes, we're too blessed to be stressed. Yes, we're too anointed to be disappointed. Yes, if hope was money, Jess and I would be billionaires because our hope is in Jesus Christ. Stay with us, family. We'll be back after a quick break.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Jesse, introduce this gentleman. God, this is unbelievable. I read it over the break. Come on, hit it.
Yeah, Terry. This is, many people send this, they send this thread to me yesterday. I got it from about six different Telegram messages that I'm on, group messages. And it's called A Message to the Unvaccinated.
Yep.
So I wasn't sure what the person was going to say. And so the person is a scientist. His name's Fernando Lopez Mirones. And here's what this Spanish biologist, Fernando Mirones, here's what he says. Quote, message to the unvaccinated. Even if I were pollinated and fully vaccinated, I would admire the unvaccinated for withstanding the greatest pressure I have ever seen, even from partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, and doctors.
And popes, I'll add. Go ahead. I had to say that.
Go ahead. People who are capable of such personality, courage, and critical ability are undoubtedly the best of humanity. Mm-hmm. They are everywhere, in all ages, levels of education, states, and ideas. They are of a special kind.
Yeah.
They are the soldier that every army of light wants to have in its ranks. They are the parents that every child wants to have, and the children that every parent dreams of having. They are beings above the average of their societies. They are the essence of the people who have built all cultures and conquered horizons. They are there, next to you. They look normal, but they are superheroes. They did what others could not. They were the tree that withstood the hurricane of insults, discrimination, and social exclusion. And they did it because they thought they were alone and believed they were the only ones. Banned from their families, tables at Christmas. They never saw anything so cruel. They lost their jobs, let their careers sink, had no more money, but they didn't care. They suffered immeasurable discrimination, denunciation, betrayal, and humiliation, but they kept going. Never before in humanity has there been such a casting. Now we know who are the best on planet Earth. Women, men, old, young, rich, poor, of all races or religions, the unvaccinated, the chosen of the invisible ark, the only ones who managed to resist when everything collapsed. That's you. You passed an unimaginable test that many of the toughest Marines, commandos, Green Berets, astronauts, and geniuses could not withstand. You are made of the stuff of the greatest who ever lived. Those heroes born among ordinary men who glow in the dark. Signed, Dr. Fernando Lopez Mirones, a scientist.
Yes, a biologist scientist, so he would know more than anyone. Jesse, this is very inspirational, and I'll tell you why. He's right. You and I both know hundreds of people who were suffering great at the cause of this when it took place. They lost jobs. They were just persecution, you know, from the church. We were almost like we had what's the disease that Father in Hawaii. Father David, leprosy. Like we were leopards, okay? We had leprosy, and we couldn't go somewhere if we weren't vaccinated. They were doing all kinds of horrible things to people. Now, I just want to also commend the doctor and the scientist to saying this, because it really confirms what we've been saying from day one, that this is nothing different than the flu. And we were right on this. I mean, I hate to say it, but I hate to say it. It's just a fact. But to have someone do this, it should really confirm a lot of us who stood strong on this issue.
Amen. I mean, that letter was written to all of us that held the line.
That's right.
And we were basically considered second class citizens.
Oh yeah.
You remember, Terry, even under Joe Biden.
Oh yeah.
He wanted to kind of compartmentalize the country.
Yes.
Those that were vaxxed and those that were unvaxxed.
Yeah.
Those that were unvaxxed, you know, we were not going to be allowed to get passports, fly on a plane.
Yeah.
They wanted to have a two-tiered system in this country under Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Many people seem to forget that.
Yeah. And Jesse, the thing about this now, we talked about 780,000 people reported serious injuries from the jab. We did that earlier in the week. So, I mean, a lot of people paid a terrible price at this debacle. And many of them we buried here at our Sacred Heart Chapel. I know young people who had 8 years old, and they gave them the jab, and they had a reaction to it and died. And we were burying them, and nobody said a word. So I think this will go down in American history, Jesse, as one of the worst tragedies. I'm talking for an entire country to have to put up with. We've never had anything like it in our lives.
Terry, and I'll tell you something that's, I mean, we got to speak the truth in charity.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact is that, you know, many scientists were telling us that the jab, these C19 vaccines,
yeah,
that they were made from fetal stem cells.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And again, I think for most people of faith, that was saying, what? I'm going to put some fetal stem cells in my body so I could live another day, another 2 years. And here's what's sad, Terry, is that the USCCB and the Vatican,
yep,
came into the medical COVID mafia.
Yep.
They did not stand up to them, but instead they ordered the faithful in many dioceses to roll up your sleeve and get the jab, because that's an act of love. And Are you kidding me?
And they also said you have a moral obligation to get the jab. And there's only one bishop I know who stood up and said, not for me, Not when I see that it's been generated from aborted babies. And I believe that that's one of the issues Bishop Strickland was removed of, because he didn't go along with the bishops of Texas or the UCCB. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he became alienated from his brother bishops. And even the Vatican was upset that he didn't get in line. But, you know, Bishop Strickland made it clear, I will go only where the truth sets, you know, will send me. I can't compromise when I see that something is being done that's immoral, no matter who tells me to change. And it cost him his bishopry in Tyler, Texas. Thank you, Bishop Strickland, for standing strong for that.
Yeah, well, I've got to give him some credit. That's why I gave him the name America's Bishop.
That's right, you did, Jess.
But there's a few others, I'll have to say, that also told the line. Archbishop Carlo Maria Viganò,
Nuncio.
Yeah. Cardinal Mueller also told us from to
Germany,
resist.
Sure.
So did Cardinal Punjat. I forget where he's from.
No, there's many. Bishop Snyder.
Cardinal Zen. He also did. Bishop Snyder, Cardinal Raymond Burke. So there was a few of them that held, as Mel Gibson says in his movie Braveheart, they held the line.
Yeah, but only one in the UCC Bishops Conference of the United States was Bishop Strickland. Not even any of his other brothers came out. And I'll tell you why, Jesse. It's like he said, you know, when you stand up for the truth, be prepared to be persecuted for it. And, you know, he was, and we will too. And so be it. But I commend all those bishops and cardinals who said, you know, wait a minute, this isn't. I mean, I remember Cardinal Pell saying, "What? So tell me, when was the last time the Pope was an expert on medical procedures?" You know, I don't think that's his competency. And I think Cardinal Pell was spot on. Go ahead.
There's a doctor by the name of Doctor. She's not Catholic. I think she's a Jew.
Okay.
Non-practicing. Her name's Dr. Naomi Wolf, but she's good on this topic.
Oh, I think I've heard. Yeah.
Dr. Naomi Wolf, I've heard her say on several interviews, she said that the Chinese Communist Party aligned with the globalists. And the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they're the ones that united together to create a new world order to promote the jab, where people are going to end up either dead, disabled, or sterilized. So it was a bunch of rich, pagan, non-believing oligarchs that wanted to establish everybody's fate on planet Earth.
Unbelievable that we ran through that in our lifetime. Well, yeah. Jesse, we're at the end of our show. I want to just recommend people that the videos of the talks on the Spiritual Warfare Conference from last month are available. And if you go to vmpr.org, you can get those downloaded and stream those. Show them to your friends and family. I also want to say that for those who donate $25 a month or more, they'll continue to get free downloads. Free, when I mean hundreds of dollars of downloads of people like Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Jess Romero, all these talks that we were given over the years, we make them available to our monthly donors because we want you to be a high information Catholic. And I just want to thank you for being a monthly donor, because that's how we pay our monthly bills. Also, I've got some exciting news next week I will be sharing with you. Actually, I can share it now, Jesse. You're going to be on it. At the end of September, we're going to be going on a bus ride with Bishop Joseph Strickland to the Southwest. We're going to be going to missions. We're going to be, the title of it will be Conquering the Southwest for Christ Again. That's what the missionaries did hundreds of years ago. And we're going to be on a bus for 5 days. We'll get into hotels. We'll have daily mass conferences on the bus. And if you want to join us, wait till next week. We'll get you how you can do it, because it's only going to be about 150 people, three buses. Jesse Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Last time I checked, we need to live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Remember, the Bible says, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Remember that.
Well said. And remember Our Lady of Fatima. I say it every day because it's so true. Souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. You feel a little sick like I do? Offer it up, man. Get over it. You know what I mean? Every action become like a blank check. So your sore throat right now can be offered to Jesus. And merit will come from that. I don't care if you're 4 years old or 104. You can offer everything in your life to Christ. And you can save souls by doing that in uniting the sufferings of Christ to help redeem the world. Thanks again for joining us here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio, the Terry and Jesse Show. May God richly bless you and your family.